There are certain songs and certain verses of songs that are rather amazing. And I just, you know, you get certain verses of "And Can It Be" and "It Is Well With My Soul" and those kind of, and that, but this one, that fourth verse really just,
amen. Yeah.
Amazing. "I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine." And it's, "I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand." Let's face it, we're not that great. Nowhere else to stand. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. I was told I may have been a little rough this morning. And so, it was not my intent to be rough. It was my intent to be blunt, but it was not my intent to be rough. So a good dose of reality helps us out a lot, doesn't it? Sometimes just getting some real deal Bible and just trying to see it God's way. We get in a whole lot of trouble because we keep not seeing it God's way. And so hopefully this will be a help to you tonight. Let's go ahead and Ephesians chapter 5. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 3, okay? I know who I'm talking to, so we know 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, right? "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost," right? The Spirit of God dwells in us, right? That's the idea. We have it. If you're saved in here tonight, God gave you His Holy Spirit. That's part of the promise of our salvation. The truth is that we are sealed by His Spirit until the day of redemption. That is the way that it works, right? And we know that. We got the Holy Spirit of God put inside of us. He revived our spirit, put in the Holy Spirit, and now we have communion with God the way it's supposed to be. And so the difference, though, is you get to Ephesians chapter 5, and I mentioned what I was preaching on tonight this morning. He says in verse number 14, just for a little context, "Awake," right? "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then he goes into the section on a lot of what I talked about this morning. Wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church. The whole section there that I didn't read this morning, and I'm not going to read at this particular moment tonight. But you realize that his admonition here, though, is something different than the day you got saved. The day you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. It was given to you. But he makes the statement here, be filled with the Spirit. That then tells me that we can either be full or we can just have it. you can get by starving on meager rations for a while, right? And not be full. That's the concept, right? The idea is here that you have the Holy Spirit and you have access to the Holy Spirit of God, and it's all provided, but the problem is we aren't full of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us to. That's an imperative. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. The command is you should be filled. That's be filled with the Spirit. Do it. And many of us, and myself included, before we got saved, the Bible has some great descriptors of things that we were filled with. And none of us like them. They're not great. We read one of them this morning in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. We were filled with all unrighteousness. How do you like that? Isn't that great? When we were lost, we were filled with things like lies and indignation in Acts chapter 5. He says that we're full of subtlety, mischief, and envy back in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 19, we are filled with confusion and wrath. That's the lost world. That's the way we were when we were lost. Doesn't that sound pretty familiar to being a lost person? I'll just give you the list. Unrighteousness, lies and indignation, subtlety, mischief and envy, confusion and wrath. That pretty well sums up a lost man, doesn't it? I mean, a fleshly man, a saved carnal Christian, that's what they look like too, right? You say, what's the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual one? You guessed it, Ephesians chapter 5. One's full of the Spirit and one's carnal. The carnal one is not living right and he's not doing right and he's not trying to do right. Well, what's wrong? He isn't full. I didn't say he was lost, because we don't lose that. We're sealed. We're fine. But we're not living the way we're supposed to be living because the Holy Spirit isn't full. Many times we go ahead, the lost man tries to fill his voids that he feels with all the things I listed, and probably some more. But he covered that with all unrighteousness. He chooses all the wrong things to fill whatever he can in order to go ahead and feel full. So you do not have to be on a carnivore diet, all right? I'm on carnivore. But there are certain things that are different. You understand this just as well as I do, okay? This is easy nutrition. You ready? Parents, are we serving bowls of ice cream for dinner? No. No, we're not, right? Grandparents, you are, but parents, we are not, right? Our answer is there is zero nutritional value, right? The idea is, will that fill them? No, not really. They'll keep going more and more and more and more and more until they're sick as a dog, right? But when you put real food in front of them and they eat, what happens? It's not a filler of trying to take up space that's not really going to help them and not really going to fill them for real or sustain them in any way. Instead, they're filled up with garbage, right? You put real food in front of them and you get them full, and that lasts. That's one of the wonders that I have with carnivore is I don't eat all that much. And I don't eat all that much because I'm full all the time. I don't have all these weird cravings. You say, why? Because I'm not hungry. If you're not hungry, you don't crave anything. That's kind of the idea. You know, you know what most of the problem, I have a little sign in my office. And I've had it for a couple of years now, brother. Dr. Howe gave it to me. And it says, sometimes we're not hungry for Christ because we're too full of ourselves. Say, why do you have that in your office? You know exactly why I have that in my office. Because I look over and I go, yep. All right, need to get myself back out. Get that back out of the way, right? Why? I'm too consumed with my things to give space to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit of God in my life to be able to work and to do what He wants and to do of His good pleasure. I'm really good at doing my good pleasure. I'm not as good at doing His good pleasure. And so I have to get out of the way for Him to be, there has to be room for Him. And He wants to fill, but the problem is we stuff everything in His place so that we can go ahead and feel full when we're really not full. I'm hoping this all makes sense. And we oftentimes are doing what the world does, just a different way. Well, you know, I'm not filling it with lies, and I'm not filling it with this, and I'm not filling it with that. Except you're still filling it with unrighteousness. What do you mean by that? Well, unrighteousness means not right. I didn't do right. Well, then you're actively filling it with things that aren't the right things for you to fill it with. Your life is full of things. How many of us, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, how many of us are busy all the time? But how many times are we busy and we look back and we go, boy, I didn't get anything done. I feel like I didn't do anything. I've been going nonstop, but I didn't really accomplish anything. I wonder if it might be because of, instead of it being the Holy Spirit leading you and filling you and guiding you, you decided to do what you wanted to do. And then you got nowhere. This sounds like it's going to be just as rough as this morning. And so, but this is why He looks at us and He says, hey, go be filled with the Spirit. Amen. This is not an unattainable goal. He tells you to do it, right? He commands it. If he commands it, he's not grievous in his commandments, right? He's not trying to grieve you and weigh you down and burden you. Instead, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's trying to alleviate all those burdens that we have to do it his way. And so he's looking at the past. And you know what he says? He says, hey, how about you do things and be filled with my spirit and I can lead and guide you a whole lot better. Amen. You realize the Christian, there's a lot of verses, and I already told Brother Andrew that I don't know if I could finish this in one night. And he said, well, we've all met your predecessor, and so he just trained you really well. So this morning carries over to a two-parter. Tonight will just carry over to a two-parter and a three-parter and a five-parter, and then you get the 70 messages to the seven churches, and then... and then you get the 62-year saga of Job, and... It's great. It's fantastic, right? That was me. That's mine. But I look at this and I think, man, this is vital to the Christian life. This is not a topic that is just, oh, hey, by the way, you should probably do that. Our lives are full of things, but oftentimes I don't think we're full of the Holy Ghost. And it's so easy. There's multiple verses. They're all over the place where we can quench the Spirit, right? Where we can grieve the Spirit. Where we can go ahead. We can supersede the Spirit of God, right? We can go ahead and choose what we're going to do. We have free will to do so. And so we don't have to do what the Spirit tells us to do. God gave us liberty still. We still have it. But the problem is that we use our liberty as an occasion of the flesh and we do all the other things that we're not supposed to do with it and it gets us into trouble. And so the lost man, he is going to be filled with whatever unrighteousness and wickedness and terrible that he's going to be filled with. But the Christian, he is supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I find in my life oftentimes it can be lacking. And it can happen real fast that it leaves. You ever feel like you're doing really good and then, right? You're like, oh, whoa, what happened? What just happened? Because I thought we were walking together about 5 seconds ago and now I got nothing, right? That's how quick those things can go. It's acknowledging that, getting back and getting things right. And I'm going to preach half my message of the end of the message before I get to the beginning of the message, but the Holy Spirit inside of us, this is not, I mentioned it this morning, this is not a terrible topic. The Holy Ghost is an amazing piece of the Godhead that gives you and I great access to God. Not only does it do that, it leads and guides us into all truth. He's the comforter that shows up in our times of trouble and distress. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that shows up in your life now. The Holy Ghost is not a terrible thing. People have somehow, because the charismatics started yelling about the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost, he doesn't talk a lot about himself, right? He doesn't speak of himself. He points everybody to Jesus Christ. He points everybody to the Savior. Well, you're saved already. So you know what he does in your life? A whole lot. And that's why he was given. The Holy Ghost was given to convince the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. But to the Christian, he didn't come for the idea just of sin and righteousness and of judgment. He came to the Christian because he's supposed to be the comforter and the guide and the leader and the help and the... Just keep listening. It's replete. And so the Holy Ghost is fantastic in the life of a Christian, but the problem, we don't access him very well and we don't listen to him. And he's not able to help us because we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're gonna look at a few things tonight. Father, I do pray you would just bless and help me, Father, to say what you want me to say. And Lord, that you just guide my thoughts and help it to be an encouragement and a help and a strengthening. I pray you would help us each and every day, Father, to choose to be filled with the Spirit. And Father, I pray if we recognize any leak of that out, Lord, where we're not filled, we would, Father, go ahead and get what's in the way out of the way and get filled back up, Lord, again, and just lean on you and trust you. Father, we pray you would just bless our night tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's some interesting things that the Christian's supposed to be filled with, by the way. The Christian's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's supposed to do. But I find in order to do that, you have to have some things filled already. All right, so look back at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, just a couple of books to the right. Colossians chapter 1. I think these go and coincide very much with the idea of being filled with the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, and of course the Apostle Paul does not know how to do a short sentence. So verse number 9 is where we'll start it. He says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." And I'll stop right there. Notice what he says early there in verse number 9. He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, right, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you're going to need? You're going to need to know what He wants you to do. What gets us in trouble with God is one of the things that gets us in trouble, right, is that we go to unrighteousness, we don't do the right thing. Instead, we don't know what His will is. I hear that all the time. Well, what's the will of God for me? What's the will of God? Like it's some weird, mysterious thing, all right? I struggle with this idea because people go, well, how do you know what the will of God is? You just know. You just know. So what do you mean by that? Well, part of it is you read your Bible, right? We know the general will of God, right? Read your Bible and pray and be in church and be a witness and try to do right and try to do the best you can. And then you come to a decision. You're like, well, Lord, what do I do with that? If you're walking with Him, the answer is normally apparent. Okay, let me try that again. You're walking with Him and you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden you get a verse and it tells you something and it answers your question. And you go, oh yeah, that's the answer. It's pretty apparent that I am supposed to do this. And so you're sitting there and you hear a message and you go, boy, I probably should take care of that right there. It becomes very apparent. If you're walking with the Lord and you're trying to pay attention to what He wants, He is not hiding His will from you. He's not over there playing the shell game trying to be like, all right, now follow my will around, let me see. And if you choose the right shell, you can know what it is. And if you get it wrong, you owe me $5. That's not what why would He do that? Doesn't He want you to accomplish His will? Doesn't He want you to fulfill what He has put you here to do and the job that He has given and the task of His servants? I find it very strange. We keep going, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. And sometimes it seems very mysterious. And sometimes it seems like, but most of the time, the reason it's so mysterious has nothing to do with Him. It has everything to do with me. I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention. I am not filled, notice, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and, look at that last part, spiritual understanding. You know, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what we won't have a problem doing? Having spiritual understanding when He gives us our answer. We struggle and we do these things. I don't know about you. Okay, this is me. All right. I'm overly logical sometimes. I'm too analytical looking at things. All right. And so I look at a passage and I've got a choice. I've got two choices, right? How many of you have ever done this one, right? You read it and you go, of course. And you're like, but. And then you cram it into the pigeonhole of the other one, trying to just drive it in there just because you're like, and see, now I don't know. Am I the only one who's ever done that in my life? Right? We go, oh, but wait, maybe it's more secretive than that obvious one that showed up in my face. And the Lord's like, no, stop trying to cram it in that other hole. The square block does slide through that round hole, but you got to shave the edges off it to get it in. Stop doing that to me, right? I don't know about you. I've done that, trying to make sure that I do it right. Sometimes you know what you need? You need to relax just enough to go, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? Okay, I believe this is you. Now, this is crazy, just for a moment. Now I know I'm on the will of God, all right? And how do I know I'm doing the right thing? I'm going to caution you of one thing really quick. Whatsoever is not of faith is? Okay, it's sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. So does that mean you're going to know 100% that you're doing the right thing? Or is it going to take faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay, so now you've got a decision. Well, how do I know what God wants me to do? You'll know by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will not get around that portion. We did those prophecies this morning in Sunday school, and we're talking about how the certainty of a Bible because of the prophecies that we have. You know what it still takes? It still takes faith to believe that book. Still. It's still going to be an element of faith that has to be there, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If it's not of faith, we have to have faith. But our faith has substance to it. So I'm 95% sure I know what I'm supposed to do. Then start walking. Okay? Now listen, if God loves you and He wants the best for you, and you're going to do the right thing, you're going to try to do the best you can, and you're going to about to step forward and go, Lord, I'm going to trust You, and you are doing the wrong thing. Do you really think God's standing there with a baseball bat looking to hit you because you just stepped out of line trying to do the right thing for Him? Or could it be that He'll reach down and speak to you just for one more moment and go, oh, no, just a little bit over. You know, God likes to move while you're moving. Interestingly enough, right, Job is talking, and he says, you know, I looked on my right hand, I looked on my left, I don't see Him, I don't know where He is, right? I'm paraphrasing. But notice what he says, but He knoweth the way that I'm standing. No. He knoweth the way that I take. He's still moving. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. He's moving because God guides moving ships. He wants you to be moving. He wants you to be trying to go forward. You say, well, you know, how did you know for sure that you were supposed to be here at Emmanuel? I didn't. In fact, some of you were here, there was a little confusion. You say, how did you figure it out? I prayed a lot. I read more. I waited, and I waited for an answer. And some of my pigeonholing into the square pegs into round holes were because I did not want to miss this one up. And you look it over, and you watch, and you watch, and you watch, and you watch. You know what I find very quickly? God wants you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. He wants you to know what He wants. Well, how did you know you were called into the ministry? Because He worked on my heart, and I knew, and there was enough things, and I finally surrendered, and you can go next door, and you can see the spot where I surrendered, and all the things, and it's all right there for me. And that's where I surrendered, but He'd already been working on me long before I surrendered. And I saw it over and over and over and over, and I wasn't willing to bend. And then I bent. You know, well, yeah, but you knew He was going to call you into the pastorate. I had no idea. I just knew He wanted me. I didn't know what He wanted me for. I knew I was supposed to preach. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so you say, what do you do? Well, then you go. Well, I knew He wanted me down at PBI, and so I left. I got everything together. I did what I needed to do so that I could go. I get down there. I go. I graduate. You say, well, what did you do? I came home. I didn't know. I had ties here. I needed to come home. And so I came home, and the Lord worked that out. And Say, well, what did you do from there? I just did whatever I could. I was where I was supposed to be. I knew that much. So, okay, well, what are you going to do? You do what you can. Okay. Well, then what happened? God just keeps moving. And you just keep listening. And you take care of today so that you can know what to do tomorrow, so that you can be in the right place, so that you can do tomorrow what you need to do. And out it goes. We oftentimes go, well, what am I going to be in 20 years? You're not going to get that answer.
Right.
Lord, what am I going to be doing in 10 years? You're probably not going to get that answer. You know what your biggest concern ought to be? Lord, what do you want me to do now?
Amen.
What am I doing now?
Amen.
God's not going, okay, just side note. His word is a lamp onto my... and a light onto my... All right, how far does a flashlight go? not all that. You're not seeing a quarter mile with your flashlight. I mean, you may have one of the high-powered ones, and you might get a little bit, but you're not going a mile. you're not getting way out there. Your headlights don't go too far. And as you're going, you know what you're thinking? Are you worried in your car as you're driving down the road? Unless you got terrible headlights, right, and different problems with your car, right? If you're driving down the road, you're not like, oh my goodness, I just can't quite see far enough. I mean, unless there's adverse weather conditions and everything else, right? But the idea is, I'm not worried. I can see that far, and that's all I need because I can't really worry about too much farther. You know what God does in your life? This is what you need. This is what you need to know. And as you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual understanding. You'll have wisdom about it so that you can go ahead and do what He asked you to do. Interesting little note, though, he says in verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. Look back over at Acts chapter 6. I cannot believe it is this late already. I've been preaching longer than I thought. This will be two parts. All right. Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, if you don't know what's happening, right, the beginning of the chapter, the 12 go ahead and call in all the disciples, all the extra, you know, all the people that have been following and learning and growing. They call them in and they said, hey, we need some help, right? So they're going to get the deacons together, what they're going to be here. And notice what they say in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man, look at that, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and all these other guys. Verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You say, what'll help you get the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Well, if you got the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you know what you gain? All the power of God. That is an amazing thought.
Amen.
The power of God. Do you realize that the power of God is the thing that spoke the universe into existence? The power of God is the thing that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God makes it so that a wicked, vile sinner like me can be washed of all of my sins and cleansed for all of eternity. The power of God is unparalleled, and you and I have access to it. And I have a whole message on the power of God, and I'm not going to preach it, and I know Pastor has one as well, at least, if not two or three, like I do. And the power of God is the tapping in to the source of all of our strength and our might, our abilities, the greatness of who He is exuded and put into our lives so that we can accomplish the tasks which He gives us. So you get the knowledge of His will, and when you get the knowledge of His will, you gain the power that He has for you. Now, most people look around, they go, well, I mean, what do you mean the power of God? I mean, I don't really have the power of God, do I? You do. Yet, it's hard to describe in some aspects. Pastor Legault is a good example. He's a good example on a lot of levels, but he's a good example of this right here. We've prayed for him for years, literally decades, for his health and for his strength and for his ability. And I can tell you from personal experience as well as his experiences that sometimes, you know what happens? You step up behind the pulpit and you can feel lousy right about the third step right here. And then you step over here and God does something different. I don't know what it is outside of the power of God to be able to stand there and suddenly you have, your mind is cleared. You have the worst headache, the worst cold, the worst flu symptoms, the worst everything. And all of a sudden you step here and God goes, okay, I'm just going to strengthen you so you can do the job I asked you to do. And I can't tell you how many times I have felt awful to go ahead and preach. I preach, and about the time I hit the bottom step, it's gone. And I'm about to fall down on the ground after I'm done. And drag yourself to the back and hope nobody notices how terrible you feel. You say, what is that? That's the exercising of the power of God. You say, well, you can get somebody else to do that. You know what else I learned from him? It's not somebody else's job. Say, through what? Through all the pain and the troubles and the trials and the affliction and all the other things, God asked me to do that. I know I could call 20 guys in this church. They'd gladly come up here and fill in and take care of something if I was hurting or if I was not feeling well or anything else, and he had the exact same thing. And you know what the answer is? God didn't ask them to do that. He asked me to do that. And so he'll give me the ability to do it. You lean on his power, his abilities. People go, oh boy, you're a really good public speaker, and I don't like it. Leading singing at Youth Ablaze scares me to death. You can ask Andrew. It scares me to death to do that. You say, why do you do it? Because somebody needs to do it. And I got asked. And the Lord opened the door. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So why do you do it? Because it scares me to death. I don't want to do it. I've already told Brother Chad, if you don't want me, that's fine. Brother, that's fine. No, I want you back. Next year, you and Brother Andrew. Andrew has to come with you, right? He does. He's... And he loves it. We work great together. We've always worked well, and we don't have any problems. We know what the other one's doing. Everything works great. Good spirit with Brother Chad. You realize Chad doesn't want to do any of that. he doesn't want to run Youth Ablaze at all. You say, but what's he given? That's what the Lord's given him. You know, you've got things in your life, and you've got people in your life, and you've got different circumstances in your life. The only way you're going to make it is by the power of God. Well, then you know what you need? You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Because if you aren't filled, you don't have all the power. And I'm going to give you a couple of things tonight. I'm going to try and wrap this up here because I can probably go for another hour with what I have right in front of me. Look back at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd hate to leave you right there like that because I didn't really say anything about having, how to have the Holy Ghost more powerful in your life and how to fill some of those things and how to go ahead and gain more of the Holy Ghost in your life. I didn't really talk about that yet. And I don't like messages that don't have any answers. All right? Now, I'm not going to give you all the answers because I'm not going to finish out my message tonight. By the way, the next one, in case you can't be here next week, the last point of the message is what we'll do next week in Sunday evening, and it's the fruit of righteousness. And it goes along with the fruit of the Spirit. They link together. You'll see it, and we'll do it. But that's a great earmark. You know you're full of the Spirit when you start exuding the fruit that goes along with having that Spirit. But here he is. And he says in verse number 14, once again, he says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So the first thing you got to do is wake up. All right, we're just going to kind of walk down these few verses right here. Nice and simple. All right. Number one, you got to wake up. If you're still sleeping and you're still just lazy, good for nothing type Christian, you don't get up, you don't pay attention, you're not. That's what he's saying. See then that you walk circumspectly, right? Looking around, paying attention. Most Christians are so apathetic and so pathetic that they don't look around and they don't pay any attention to what's going on around them. How many times, please don't tell me how many times. Don't say anything out loud. How many times, because we've all done it. If you've been saved for any length of time whatsoever, you've done it. You get done talking to somebody, you walk away and you're like, why didn't I witness to them? Why didn't I give them a trek? Right? Do you think you were filled with the Spirit? Or were you worried about what I got to get done? I was worried about what I got to get done. That's normally what the problem is, right? I wasn't filled with the Spirit, so I didn't pay attention. I wasn't awake. I was sleeping on the job, right? I was doing it halfway. I wasn't getting the job done. And the Lord's going, hey, you got to wake up, guys, because there's an entire world that's going to a lake of fire without Jesus Christ. And you know what they need? They need a Savior, and you're the one who knows Him. So we need to wake up. We'll miss less and less of those opportunities if we just wake up and look around. The chances that we have for opportunities to do good to the brethren, the chances we have to go ahead and help, and the chances we have to encourage somebody, and the chances we have to go ahead and be a blessing and a help, we miss those because we're too busy sleeping. Awake. I'm trying not to preach all these, man. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I covered most of that. Verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There it is. Start knowing His will. Then he says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I'm not going to cover drinking, but I want you to know, if you're drinking any alcohol whatsoever, by the way, the statement is, well, you know, don't drink to excess. That's not what it said. In the wine is some sort of excess, something that's not supposed to be there. That's alcohol. That's not supposed to be in there. It's strong drink. It's all this. The idea now is casual drinking and, just one won't hurt you and all the other things. And by the way, that's the same thing you thought before you got saved with all the other problems you had. Just one won't hurt you. Yeah. Anyways, I'll get all fired up so I won't. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he tells you in verse 19, here's a good way to start it up. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You want to get filled with the Spirit? Start singing. Pick up a hymnal. I didn't even mean to do this earlier, and I pulled out a couple of lines from The Sands of Time Are Sinking. You go through. Most people don't do this, and maybe I'm just strange, but read a hymnal. Find some of your favorite hymns. You're like, boy, I really like that song, but I don't remember why, and I don't have all the words. Read it instead of singing it, just for a moment. And it will change your thought process immediately. And then you go ahead and sing it. So you get things like, I don't know, I'm just going to flip in here, just for a moment. I just want to show you what I mean. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of His, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him, the sin clouds rolled away. That probably didn't do anything for you. Sometimes the clouds of trouble bedim the sky above. I cannot see my Savior's face. I doubt His wondrous love. But He from heaven's mercy seat, beholding my despair, in pity bursts the clouds between and shows me He is there. When sorrow's clouds overtake me and break upon my head, when life seems worse than useless and I were better dead, I take my grief to Jesus then, nor do I go in vain, for heavenly hope He gives that cheers like sunshine after rain. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all His care and tenderness for this poor life of mine. His love is in and over all, and wind and waves obey, when Jesus whispers, "Peace be still," and rolls the clouds away. I just pick you up, carry you around for the day. You ever feel, you start feeling off? I'll tell you this, you start feeling off, and you don't feel like you're filled up, and you don't feel like, start singing your most favorite hymns. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. You'll start forgetting all about the rest. And then he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Start getting thankful again. Most of the time when you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're very unthankful. Say, how do you know that? Because I get unthankful. I get grumbly and complainy. Say, how do I know when I'm not filled with the Spirit? I'll give you a good one. When you're grumbling and complaining. I'll tell you real quick, Spirit of God's not filling you up. Yeah. You're messed up in your way of thinking. Then he says, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I'm going to stop there for the night. Submitting yourselves one to another. Humility. You want to get filled with the Spirit of God, go find somebody to help that you don't think deserves it. Go find somebody that needs a hand and go help them. Go find somebody. You don't even have to like them. Go ahead and just do something. You say, oh, how would that ever help me be filled with the Spirit? You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You want to know half of our troubles? I would dare say it might even be more than half, is that God resisteth the proud. And you won't submit to anybody else because you're proud. You won't serve anybody else because you're proud. Those are the days, right? You think of the days when you feel at your worst and you know that you're not full of the Spirit, okay? I guarantee, right, everybody in the room, if you're saved in here, you have not been full of the Spirit every single day of your life since you got saved, right? You think of the days when you know I was off. You know what you'll find? You'll find there was no song in your heart. You'll find there was no thankfulness. And you'll find there was no service. That's what you'll find. So how do I get back in the right mindset? Well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And put the mind of Christ back on. Go serve somebody. Go do something for somebody. Help them. And you'll start getting refilled. Because what that does is that removes self from the equation. Unthankfulness, that's pride. I deserve, and how come? And you start murmuring and complaining because you didn't get right. You didn't get the things you wanted. Unwilling to serve, that's pride. Hymns, singing the hymns are all about Him. Instead of being about you. Say, why am I not full of the Spirit? Because you're full of you. You like what you like. Why can't I get more in my Christian life? Because you're full of you. And He wants you to be all full of Him. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. If you're in here tonight without Jesus Christ, I don't know of anybody who's lost in here, but I do want to mention it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants to save you. He wants to fill you. He wants to keep you. He wants to give you all of His power and all of His might and do all amazing things for you. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know forever your sins are forgiven and you're well taken care of by God forever. Christian, maybe you just need to come and go, Lord, I've been feeling empty. The heavens feel like brass and I feel empty and I don't know what's going on and maybe I just need to get filled back up. So fill me up. Lord, I do pray you would bless our invitation now. I pray this was a help and an encouragement and a strengthening to people that are here. And Lord, we pray once again, you'd bless our night. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.